This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, couples therapy that works.
What's the most unhinged move? An ex pulled after seeing you thrive without them. Story one. After I landed my dream job in San Francisco, I posted a picture with my offer letter on Instagram. My ex, Kyle, hadn't spoken to me in months after our nasty breakup. The next week, I got a call from my mom, frantic. Someone had mailed her a typed anonymous letter accusing me of forging my college degree and using sexual favors to get ahead. She was devastated, but I knew immediately it was him. He always threatened to ruin me if I ever left him, even joking once about how easy it would be to burn it all down with a few emails. I hired a lawyer. We traced the IP from one of the anonymous emails that matched the letter back to a public library 2 blocks from his new apartment. He was charged with harassment and attempting to defame a public employee. Best part? He tried to represent himself in court and ended up sobbing on the stand. My mom, now proud and petty, keeps the court verdict framed next to my diploma. Story 2. When I broke up with Melanie, she told me, "You'll never find better." A year later, I was dating someone kind, stable, and absolutely stunning. We'd post casual photos together, nothing showy. But Melanie must have been watching. She made a fake Instagram posing as a women's advocacy page and sent my girlfriend a DM claiming I had a history of abuse, complete with screenshots. My girlfriend confronted me, heartbroken, until she noticed the screenshots had timestamps from dates we were physically together. We tracked the account to Melanie's secondary email. She once used it to send me a playlist. My girlfriend responded on the advocacy page with a calm, scathing breakdown of all the lies and posted it publicly. The post blew up. The advocacy page got reported and banned. Melanie deleted all her socials. I haven't heard from her since, but I still get random messages from strangers telling me how classy and savage my girlfriend's response was. Story 3. My ex-wife showed up at my daughter's school pretending to be her stepmother. We'd been divorced for 2 years, and I'd gone full no contact after she tried to drain our joint account post-split. I moved on, got remarried, and had full custody. She hadn't seen our daughter in over a year. But apparently, when she saw photos of us vacationing in Greece, she snapped. She walked into the school claiming we'd reconciled, signed the visitor sheet, and asked to surprise her daughter. Luckily, the office secretary had known me for years and immediately called me. Cops were involved. She wasn't arrested but was banned from school grounds. What blew my mind wasn't the stunt. It was her audacity to text me after saying, "You should be grateful I still care enough to want to be around her." She didn't even say her name. Just her. Story 4. I started a small business baking allergy-friendly desserts. My ex, Aaron, always laughed at it. "Who even eats that crap?" she'd say. 2 years after our breakup, my bakery went viral thanks to a local influencer. Aaron showed up at my grand opening with a bouquet of dead flowers and an actual grilled cheese sandwich. "Something real people eat," she said, loud enough for the crowd to hear. Then she tried to pass out flyers accusing me of spiking food with laxatives. She was escorted off the premises, screaming that I owed her for inspiring me to prove her wrong. Joke's on her. I posted the whole scene on TikTok under "X tries to sabotage my bakery." It hit 2.1 million views in 48 hours. Business tripled. One commenter wrote, "The grilled cheese queen got burned." Story 5. When I got engaged, my ex, Tony, sent me a video montage of our relationship. I kid you not. It had music, transitions, old voicemails, even a slow zoom on a picture of us in Paris. Then he added a message at the end, "I'll always be your real love. You're just scared." I laughed, showed my fiance, and we figured that was the end. Until Tony started contacting all my bridesmaids. Told one he had proof I was cheating. Told another I was mentally unstable and on medication. Eventually, my maid of honor cornered him at the gym and told him if he didn't back off, she'd expose the video to his new girlfriend. Yep. He had one. He backed off. 6 months later, I got a wedding card in the mail. No return address. Inside was a single note: "You made the wrong choice. I'm still waiting." We keep it in a shoebox labeled evidence. Story 6. I posted a TikTok announcing I'd been accepted into medical school. It got maybe 20,000 views, but somehow it found my ex, Justin. He stitched the video with a clip of him pretending to cry, sarcastically clapping, and saying, "She couldn't diagnose her own narcissism, but go off, queen." I ignored it. But it didn't stop. He started a podcast, a literal podcast, called Lessons from My Crazy Ex, where every episode was a barely veiled attack on me. He used fake names but described our story down to exact vacations, quotes, even my major. I stayed silent until episode 7 when he claimed I had once intentionally killed a patient in training. Wildly untrue, I filed a defamation suit. When his followers found out about the legal threat, the whole thing backfired. Reddit picked it up. TikTokers roasted him. His podcast went down in flames. Mine? I started my own series about surviving toxic relationships and got invited on actual wellness podcasts. I even used the same mic setup he used. Petty? Maybe. But poetic. Story 7. I got married in a quiet beach ceremony. No big posts, no live stream. Just a handful of photos later on Facebook. A week later, I got a handwritten letter in the mail from my ex-girlfriend, Trina. We hadn't spoken in 4 years. Inside was a note that simply said, "Check under your bed." I did. There was a tiny gift box, wrapped in the same lavender ribbon she used when we were together. I still don't know how she got in my house. Inside was a necklace I'd given her years ago, cut into pieces, and a photo of us burned around the edges with her eyes scratched out in pen. I checked the security footage. She'd broken in during the wedding weekend while we were out of town. Cops were involved, obviously. She had hidden copies of the key from when she used to live with me. The officer said, "Honestly? You're lucky this wasn't worse. I installed new locks, moved out within a month, and my husband still says we should have eloped to the woods." Story 8. After I won a small business grant and opened a design studio, I got a LinkedIn message from my ex, Amanda. It said, "Congrats. I knew you'd get there. Just remember who helped you when you had nothing." I thought it was vaguely supportive. Then clients started dropping off. One told me they heard I used stolen branding elements. Another said a woman claiming to be a former partner had contacted them, accusing me of intellectual theft. Amanda had created a fake Gmail under my business name and emailed my own clients pretending to be a disgruntled former employee with proof that I plagiarized all my early work. She even faked a cease and desist letter and signed it with my name. Thankfully, one client forwarded the email. I traced the domain, hers. Legal letters were sent, and I had to release a public statement. It was hell. But now, I speak at entrepreneur events about reputation sabotage and Amanda's stunt. It's one of my most requested case studies. Story 9. My ex, Devin, never got over the fact that I left him for someone kinder and more emotionally stable. After I got engaged, he left a scathing Yelp review on my mom's flower shop, accusing her of fraud, stealing designs, and using flowers from cemeteries. It tanked her rating from 4.9 to 3.2 overnight. My mom was devastated. She couldn't figure out what she'd done wrong. When I read the review closely, I saw he referenced an inside joke we had years ago about lilies at funerals. I knew it was him. I replied publicly and said, "Interesting that someone who's never purchased anything here knows so much about my family's private jokes from 2017. The review was deleted. The next week, he showed up to one of our pop-ups wearing a disguise, mustache, sunglasses, everything, and tried to start a flower inspection. He called himself Regional Compliance. We have it all on video. It's now a TikTok series. My ex tried to sabotage my mom's shop and became a meme. Over 4 million views and counting. Story 10. 2 years after I left my ex-husband, Ethan, I was thriving. New city, great job, and my first solo art exhibit. Opening night, he walked in uninvited wearing a tuxedo and carrying a cello. No one stopped him because he looked official. He went to the center of the gallery, pulled up a chair, and began playing somber music while staring directly at me. Then he stood up and read a poem he'd written about lost masterpieces. He referred to me as a sculpture cracked by ambition. Guests were confused. One woman asked if it was performance art. I didn't say a word. He left without a scene, but the next day he posted a blog titled "The Woman Who Sold Her Soul for Paint" and used a photo of my exhibit's invitation. That blog is now buried under 100 memes mocking it. My art sold out. One buyer said, "I came for the drama but stayed for the talent, Ethan's cello solo." It's now background music for reaction videos on YouTube. Story 11. My ex Rachel dumped me because she thought I lacked drive. She started dating some tech guy a month later. I didn't say anything. I just focused on building my photography business. Fast forward 2 years. I booked my biggest gig ever. covering a destination wedding for a celebrity couple. On day two, I got an urgent email from the venue's coordinator. Someone had sent a warning that I was a fraud with a criminal past and even attached an old mugshot. Here's the thing. I'd never been arrested. It was a photoshopped image using my high school yearbook picture. I traced the source. It came from a VPN, but I recognized the file name. DRIVENENOUGJPEG. That was a phrase Rachel used to throw at me every time I said I needed time to grow. The kicker? The celebrity.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Pretty Bride followed me on Instagram and saw my post joking about the drama. She commented, "If your ex is still this obsessed, you must be amazing." Bookings tripled after that. Rachel? Still watching my stories on burner accounts. Story 12. When I got a book deal, I didn't expect my ex Marcus to notice. He hated that I wrote weird little poems, but my publisher posted a photo of our contract, and somehow it made it to his radar. A week later, someone submitted a plagiarism report to the publisher claiming my poems were stolen from an obscure 2006 blog. The report had side-by-side comparisons. Some were eerily similar. I panicked. I dug into it. That blog? Registered to a domain Marcus owned during college. He literally fabricated a fake blog, backdated posts using old poetry templates, and added enough overlap to make it look real. I confronted him. He said, "If you really wrote those, why do they sound like me?" The publisher launched a full investigation and cleared me. Their legal team said it was one of the most elaborate sabotage attempts they'd seen. Marcus's fake blog? It now redirects to my official author page, and my next poetry collection is titled Yours Even in Spite. Story 13. After I got cast in a national commercial, my ex-boyfriend Darren emailed the production company pretending to be me. He used an almost perfect copy of my voice. Thanks, AI apps. And called the producers, slurring fake stories about being on drugs and wanting to pull out for mental clarity. He even sent fake doctor's notes. They nearly dropped me until I begged for a Zoom call and proved I was healthy, sober, and not a deep fake. When they asked how I found out it was him, I said, "He called me Honeybee in one of the messages. He was the only one who ever did that. He's now banned from every casting agency affiliated with that production." Me? I made it to national TV. And the ad's theme? Resilience. The irony is delicious. Story 14. My ex-wife Gina hated dogs. I mean hated them. So when I adopted a rescue after our divorce and posted about how she saved me more than I saved her, I knew Gina wouldn't like it. What I didn't expect was for Gina to call animal control and report me for running an illegal breeding operation. They showed up with two trucks expecting to find cages of mistreated animals. Instead, they found a 10-year-old golden retriever on a memory foam bed and a fully stocked kitchen of dog food. They laughed, apologized, and told me someone really had it out for me. Gina later posted vague statuses like, "Some people shouldn't own pets." She even tried to start a local campaign accusing me of emotional abuse by proxy through pets. Whatever that means. My dog? She's since been featured in a pet therapy commercial. Gina? Blocked by every dog-loving group in the state. Story 15. This one's short, but straight out of a thriller. My ex, Nick, was obsessed with the idea that soulmates always circle back. When I moved on and got engaged, he mailed me a blank envelope. No return address, no note. Just a printed photo of my fiancé's car, parked outside my gym. A week later, another envelope. This time, it was my fiancé's old yearbook photo with "How well do you really know him?" scribbled on the back. We filed a police report. Turns out Nick had hired someone to tail us. He'd been building a case to prove I'd settled too fast. Detectives told us they found a whole binder in his apartment. Photos, notes, A checklist titled, Convince Her. We moved cities. I never responded. But sometimes, when I see unmarked mail, I still freeze for a second. Nick was never charged, but karma? It charged interest. I heard he lost his job after harassing another ex who also moved on. And I keep the binder, just in case I ever need to prove how far someone can fall when they can't let go. Story 16. When I got my real estate license and started doing well, I posted a photo in front of my first sold property. My ex, Carla, commented, "Finally did something useful, LOL," then deleted it. A week later, a mystery client booked a showing through my website. He was overly eager. When we met at the house, he kept asking weird questions like, "Do you ever come here alone?" and "What's the Wi-Fi password?" I got a creepy vibe, so I cut it short. Later, I realized the phone number he used matched Carla's old business contact. Turns out, she convinced one of her guy friends to pose as a client, record me during the showing, and catch me saying something unprofessional so she could send it to my agency. The footage was pathetic. I literally just pointed at granite countertops, but I reported it. The agency backed me 100%, and Carla's friend got banned from the platform we use for appointments. She's still trying to sell candles on Etsy. I just bought my third property. Story 17. My ex-husband, Alan, never forgave me for getting the house in the divorce. 6 months later, I noticed weird stuff kept happening. My sprinklers would go off randomly. My garage door opened at night. My lights would flicker, but only in the rooms I used. I thought the place was haunted. Until one night, I found a Bluetooth device tucked into the utility closet. It was paired to a smart home hub, one he installed years ago and never told me about. He'd been remotely accessing everything. Cameras, doors, thermostat, even the oven once. I confronted him. He smirked and said, "I just wanted to make sure the house missed me." I called the police. They couldn't prove malicious intent, but made him remove all access. I hired a specialist to sweep the place. Found two more hidden sensors. I changed every lock, every device, and painted the walls. Because haunted or not, the scariest thing in that house was a man who thought he still owned me. Story 18. My ex, Trevor, was a magician. Like, actual stage magician. We dated for 2 years. After the breakup, I moved on with someone who was not into card tricks. When Trevor found out I was engaged, he sent me a wedding gift. A locked wooden puzzle box with a note that said, "One final illusion." Curious and dumb, I opened it. Inside was an old bracelet I'd lost years ago, wrapped in a note that said, "You lost this, and me." But that's not even the weird part. A week later, all the flowers at our venue disappeared overnight. Poof, vanished. We thought it was a prank. Then my maid of honor received a bouquet in the mail with a card that said, "Ta-da." We checked security footage. A guy in a cape and gloves pulled up in a van labeled Events by Trevor. He'd started a short-lived business just to sneak into our vendor list. He was banned from the premises. My fiancé joked, "Imagine if he'd made you disappear." To this day, our wedding hashtag is still number sign final illusion. Story 19. After I landed a job in tech and moved to Seattle, my ex-boyfriend emailed my new employer claiming I had a history of emotional instability. He said I had been institutionalized in college, not true, and that hiring me could put the team at risk. Thankfully, HR flagged it as suspicious, but it rattled me. Then came a series of LinkedIn comments from fake accounts. "Isn't this the one who got escorted out of campus in 2017? Or, "She seems stable now." All of them had profile pics pulled from stock models. But one comment slipped. It referenced a nickname only he used. Skywalker. I compiled the evidence, went to HR again. They launched a cyber investigation and eventually traced the IPs. His apartment complex. He was let go from his job shortly after. They had overlapping partners. My company not only stood by me, they promoted me. And now, every time I post an achievement, I imagine him hitting refresh on my page in rage. Story 20. I used to work with my ex, Sophia, at a local radio station. We had a bad breakup, but I left the job soon after and didn't look back. A year later, I launched my own podcast. Just a chill, comedy news hybrid with some friends. It slowly picked up traction. Sponsors, decent listener base, top 100 in our region. Then a podcast called Real Truth launched, hosted by Sophie, with no photo or last name. It was a direct copy of ours. Same segments. Similar jokes. Even our intro song slightly slowed down. She spent whole episodes anonymously mocking my co-hosts, made fun of my voice, read fake listener reviews, and even played clips of me with a distorted laugh track. We reported her for copyright infringement. But the wildest part? She once showed up to our live event wearing a disguise, sunglasses and wig, and sat in the back row. My co-host recognized her cough. We made a joke about it live on air. Thanks to our number one fan in the wig, the crowd lost it. She never came back. Now, our tagline is, often imitated, never duplicated. Story 21. I was a barista when I dated Max. He always looked down on it, said I lacked ambition. When I graduated culinary school and landed a position at a Michelin-starred restaurant, I made one proud Instagram post. Max showed up 3 weeks later, not to congratulate me, but to apply as a dishwasher at the restaurant. He told HR we used to collaborate on recipes, and he hoped to reignite the partnership. He kept name-dropping me and casually hinting that I was unstable and owed him. My manager asked if I wanted to press charges. I didn't. Instead, I recommended him for the busiest shift and warned the line cook that he faints at the sight of raw fish. He does. Max lasted 1 hour before vomiting into the prep sink. He quit on the spot. That night, he posted a 20-tweet thread titled, "Why I'm Done Helping Women Win." The replies? Brutal. My favorite was, "Bro, you got clapped by a trout." Story 22. I broke up with Emily after catching her lying about therapy. She claimed she was getting help, but really she was going to the casino every Thursday. A year later, I moved on, started dating someone warm and emotionally open. We weren't flashy, but Emily found out through mutual friends. That's when she started faking a pregnancy, not with my child, but pretending to be my current girlfriend's ex. She created a burner Instagram under a fake name and messaged my girlfriend saying, "He said you were just a rebound. He's coming back to me. And I'm pregnant." The twist? She used my dog's name as the name of the baby. That's how we knew. My girlfriend and I confronted her with screenshots. Emily tried to double down, then claimed she was being catfished. The account vanished. A month later, someone posted screenshots of her doing the same to another couple in a support group. She now sells MLM skincare on Facebook. Every time I see her lives, I wonder how many babies she's invented since. Story 23. When I started doing stand-up comedy, my ex-wife tried to sabotage every open mic I went to. At first, it was subtle. Hecklers would yell oddly personal things. One time someone screamed, "Tell them about your foot fungus." But it got worse. She made a TikTok called Comedy Exposé, where she reviewed my sets and rated them F- for funny. She used fake accounts to upvote comments like, "He sounds like a school shooter with a punchline." But then she crossed the line. She called my next club pretending to be a talent booker and said I had been blacklisted for offensive material. They pulled my set, but the owner gave me a chance to explain. I played him the voicemail she left, her voice, clear as day, whispering, "Don't book that fraud." He laughed, gave me a headliner spot out of pity. I crushed it. That night, I closed with, "My ex said I'd never make it. I'd like to thank her for being my first heckler." Crowd went wild. She went silent. Story 24. My ex Dylan always wanted to be an actor. I supported him through auditions, gigs, and years of ramen dinners. He dumped me after landing a supporting role in a streaming series, calling me dead weight. I cried for weeks. Then I applied to grad school, got in, and focused on my career. 2 years later, I was hosting a panel at a major tech conference. Someone tagged me in a post. Dylan had shown up outside the conference center, holding a sign that said, "I messed up. Can I audition to be your boyfriend again?" It went viral for all the wrong reasons. Reddit roasted him. Twitter memed it. My boss said, "If this is a PR stunt, it's genius." It wasn't. He genuinely thought it was romantic. He got escorted out by security. Someone later spotted him at a coffee shop, pitching the idea to a podcast. I didn't respond. But the meme lives on. A stock photo version of the sign now hangs above my desk with the caption, 404, boyfriend not found. Story 25. My ex-girlfriend, Nia, was obsessed with astrology. Like, full-on Mercury retrograde destroyed my career obsessed. When I got engaged, she sent me a letter saying my natal chart warned of betrayal and that I was cosmically bound to her. I ignored it. Then came the real chaos. She messaged my fiancé pretending to be a professional astrologer. She claimed she'd done a compatibility reading and that we were elementally cursed, water and fire signs in perpetual conflict. She even created a fake report with star maps, charts, and ominous red text that said, "Wed at your own risk." It almost worked. My fiancé isn't superstitious, but the report was so detailed it freaked him out. We brought it to an actual astrologer. She burst out laughing and said, "These houses don't even align. This is just copy-paste nonsense with dramatic font." We got married under a full moon. still together, and every time I see a crystal shop, I light a candle, not for karma, but to thank the stars for dodging hers. Story 26. When I got my pilot's license, my ex-boyfriend Cole couldn't stand it. He always mocked my silly little flying dream, but a year after we broke up, I finally posted a photo in the cockpit with the caption, "Living above the noise." 2 weeks later, someone booked a Discovery flight through my school using a fake name. When they arrived, it was Cole, wearing a wig and sunglasses, claiming to be Chad from Vermont. He acted normal during pre-flight checks, then halfway through the flight, yes, we were airborne, he blurted out, "Do you think about me when you're in the clouds?" I calmly radioed the tower, cut the lesson short, and grounded the flight. He tried to hug me on landing. I filed a report. The flight school banned him for life. I now teach full-time, and the students know him only as the weirdo who tried to win back a pilot at 3,000 feet. And yeah, we use that in training on what not to do midair. Story 27. I'm a tattoo artist. When I broke up with my ex-girlfriend Mia, she told me, "You'll never make it past Stick and Pokes." After I landed a contract to work at a prestigious shop in LA, she went unhinged. She booked an appointment under a fake name, came in wearing a hoodie and sunglasses, and asked me to tattoo "Never Yours" across her collarbone. I recognized her voice immediately. I asked her 3 times if she was sure. She said, "Do it. I want it deep." So I did. And afterward, she stood up, pulled off the hoodie, and said, "I hope it haunts you every time you pick up a needle." Then she left. Just walked out. I was shaken. But the next day, she posted a selfie of the tattoo with the caption, "He finally gave me something permanent." Her followers thought it was romantic. My coworkers thought it was psychotic. The shop made it a rule: no exes allowed. Ever. Mia's tattoo ended up on a viral subreddit titled "Regret in Ink." Story 28. I was doing well in freelance game design. My ex, Lyle, couldn't handle that I had steady clients while he still lived with his parents. So he decided to one-up me. He released a game on Steam using assets from my old files, ones he copied while we were dating. He changed a few colors, renamed the characters, and called it Soulframe. But I had proof. Time-stamped versions, emails, even voice notes where we brainstormed together. I filed a DMCA takedown and notified Steam. Lyle went ballistic. He made a YouTube video accusing me of being a creativity thief and said I plagiarized our relationship. The comments? Brutal. My favorite was, "She didn't steal your ideas, she just left you and took the talent with her." The game was pulled. His reputation sank. Mine? I got a write-up in an indie game blog titled "She Design." He cried. Story 29. My ex-husband Ben and I had a bitter divorce over our dog Juniper. I got custody. He didn't fight it at the time, until he saw me post a viral video of her doing tricks. Then the emails started. "I miss her. I'm worried she's being manipulated for clout." He even claimed she looked emotionally depleted in her most recent video. I ignored him. Then one night, someone left dog treats on my porch with a handwritten note: "She deserves better. Return what was mine." I checked my security footage. It was Ben in a hoodie, standing in the rain like a Hallmark villain. I filed a restraining order. When he tried to contest it, he brought a slideshow of Juniper photos to court, arguing she was mourning him. The judge rolled her eyes and said, "This is family court, not a dog custody movie." Ben now has a TikTok where he reviews dog beds and occasionally cries. Juniper? Thriving. Story 30. My ex, Harper, hated the idea that I became a high school counselor. She used to say, "You're just a glorified babysitter with a degree." After our breakup, she found out the school had posted a feature about me on their website, a spotlight story about a student I helped graduate. Harper created a burner email and wrote the school pretending to be a concerned parent. She accused me of inappropriate relationships with students and attached AI-generated screenshots of fake messages. It triggered a full investigation. I was devastated, but cooperated fully. IT confirmed the screenshots were fake. The email was traced. Harper was identified. The school stood by me. They offered counseling support. I later gave a talk about online harassment at a district-wide meeting. Harper tried to message me later with, "I just wanted you to stop acting like a hero." I didn't respond. But the principal said something I'll never forget. Sometimes the kids aren't the problem. It's the broken adults who never grew up. Story 31. My ex, Drew, always belittled my love for fashion, said it was shallow and a phase. We broke up when he told me I should just be a cute assistant instead of applying to design school. 3 years later, my capsule collection was featured in a local fashion week. A dream. I posted photos of my models on the runway. Drew showed up to the second night of the show as a model. He'd joined one of the less known designers as a walk-in, claimed to be a symbol of emotional rebirth, and strutted down the runway in faux fur and platform boots, locking eyes with me the whole time. After the show, he cornered me backstage and whispered, "We finally belong in the same world." I said, "I didn't design this world for you." Security escorted him out. Later, he posted a TikTok titled, "I inspired her entire aesthetic," with side-by-side comparisons of my designs next to his outfits from 2016. He was roasted in the comments. One girl wrote, "You didn't inspire her. You're the reason she leveled up." Story 32. I broke up with Tara because she couldn't stop lying. Little things, big things, imaginary illnesses. When I finally had enough, I went no contact. 2 years later, I got hired as a resident coordinator at a university. A few weeks in, I received a complaint from a student about my inappropriate behavior with undergrads. The language was vague but serious. The problem? The student didn't exist. The name wasn't in any registry. The complaint had been submitted through a fake email. I did some digging. The complaint included a quote only Tara had ever said to me. "Maybe I'd believe you if you weren't always performing." That was her giveaway. She used to say that every time I defended myself. I brought it to HR. They found the complaint came from a VPN, but the account was linked to Tara's Etsy business. She was blacklisted from campus, and I got a formal apology from the university. I never replied to her last email, which just said, "You made me desperate." That was the truest thing she ever said. Story 33. My ex, Jordan, hated that I was successful in real estate. After I bought my first investment property, a duplex I renovated myself, he sent me a message, "Enjoy it while it lasts. You're not built for this game." 6 months later, a local housing complaint was filed against my address for hazardous mold and illegal renovations. It triggered a full inspection. I panicked, thinking maybe something really had gone wrong. But the inspector found nothing. Zero violations. What he did find? A note stuffed behind the utility panel, clearly planted, that said, "She cuts corners and corners people. Shut her down." It was signed "Concerned Citizen," in the exact handwriting Jordan used when he labeled things in our old apartment. I never confronted him, but I did post a video explaining what happened, and it blew up on Landlord Reddit. The phrase "corners people" became a running joke. I even got t-shirts made. Jordan, try to start a YouTube channel called Real Talk with Real Men. It's been stuck at 47 subscribers for 2 years. Story 34. After we broke up, my ex Camila became a life coach. I didn't think much of it. We hadn't spoken in ages. Then one of my coworkers forwarded me a video. Camila had launched a workshop called Letting Go of Emotional Parasites. Guess who was slide number 4? Me. She used a blurred out photo of us and called me Client Zero, the manipulator with a savior complex. She accused me, anonymously but obviously, of gaslighting her out of her career, when in reality she quit her office job to start selling spiritual bath bombs. I sent a cease and desist. She replied with an email that just said, "The truth doesn't need permission." So I responded with a breakdown of all her claims, matched with receipts, timestamps, and even old Facebook posts. I published it on Medium and titled it, "When Healing Turns into a Hustle." It got shared around Twitter like wildfire. Her workshop got canceled. My inbox flooded with messages saying, "Thank you for saying what we were all thinking." Story 35. My ex-husband, Blake, was a small-time actor with a huge ego. I worked in publishing. He said my job was boring and easy. After we divorced, I edited a memoir that hit the New York Times bestseller list. It got optioned for a miniseries. I posted a humble brag tweet. 3 weeks later, Blake auditioned for the lead male role, a real person he'd never met. He showed up to the casting with a fake mustache and accent, trying to pretend he was inspired by the author's real-life ex. The casting director was confused, then recognized him from an old headshot in our house. She was a friend of a friend. She asked him, "So, are you here to act or to prove something to your ex-wife?" He stuttered and left. I didn't even have to say a word. But later, I heard he was telling people at parties, "I helped develop the character with her." Story 36. My ex Lexi and I broke up because she hated that I traveled so much for work. Said I cared more about passport stamps than roots. Fast forward a year, I got promoted and relocated to Tokyo. Dream job, dream life. One night, I get tagged in an Instagram story. It's Lexi, in Tokyo, at the exact cafe I posted about 2 days earlier. The caption said, "Sometimes fate brings you back to what you're meant to have." At first, I thought it was a coincidence. Then I saw her in the lobby of my building. She pretended to be shocked, saying, "Oh my God, I didn't even know you lived here." Except, she used my building's guest pass, which means she had my address. Turned out she had DM'd one of my coworkers under a fake name, flirted her way into a conversation, and casually fished for where I lived. She stayed in Tokyo for 3 weeks, always accidentally showing up at my gym, favorite bar, park. I eventually told security, and they asked her to leave the premises. Her final message? You'll realize someday that I was the only constant. Nope, you were the GPS error that kept rerouting back to me. Story 37. When I launched my online baking course, it surprisingly took off. I posted cute tutorials, short reels, and a digital cookbook. My ex Brian, who once told me nobody cares about cookies, clearly noticed. A month in, I got a copyright notice from a law firm claiming I'd stolen video concepts and culinary methods from another content creator named Chef Bri. The logo? A poorly photoshopped version of mine. The videos? Exact replicas, but with Brian's voice and laughably bad piping skills. He even included a segment called Sassy Sugar Tips, which was the name of my TikTok series. When I countered the claim, he sent a voice note saying, "It's not stealing if I helped you brainstorm some of this while we dated." I posted the drama in a stitched TikTok using side-by-side clips of my tutorial and his knockoff. The internet exploded. Comments were brutal. My favorite? He copied your homework and didn't even bother changing the font. Story 38. I got hired as a behavioral therapist at a pediatric clinic. It was my dream job, finally using my psych degree in a way that made a difference. My ex-fiancé, Tom, saw my announcement on Facebook. We hadn't spoken in years. I thought he'd moved on. A week later, I started getting weird voicemails from concerned parents. One accused me of being manipulative toward children and claimed I once had a breakdown in front of minors. Another said I used therapy sessions for personal venting. Except, none of those names matched the clinic's database. HR investigated. All the voicemails came from the same number, using a voice distortion app. I confronted the tech guy at work, who confirmed it was amateur-level masking. It was Tom, still bitter that I left him 2 weeks before our wedding. He was reported, and a formal cease and desist was filed. I posted a thank you video to my team for supporting me. The caption? When someone tries to ruin your mental health career with fake psych evaluations, the irony writes itself. Story 39. My ex, Callum, had a thing for being the center of the room. After I started dating someone new, quiet, grounded, emotionally mature, Callum spiraled. We were invited to the same friend's Halloween party. I wore a simple pirate costume. Callum showed up in a full suit, fake blood, and a name tag that said, "My name is Trauma." All night he followed me around making jokes like, "Hey, remember when I emotionally destroyed you? Classic me." Or, "She upgraded, but she'll be back when she misses chaos." Eventually, he got drunk and started reciting lines from our past arguments like monologues. People thought it was performance art. The next day, he posted photos of himself at the party with the caption, "When you become the villain they can't unlove." I posted a boomerang of me and my new boyfriend cheersing cider with the caption, "Here's to peace and the plot twist." The crowd knew who the real clown was, and it wasn't me in an eye patch. Story 40. My ex Kara was obsessed with making everything a story worth telling. That's how she justified filming our arguments and sharing cryptic posts during our breakup. After I moved on, she wrote a fictional novella and self-published it on Amazon. The title? The Girl Who Left Me in Pieces. Except the main character was clearly me. Same job, same car, same dog breed. Her version of me? A narcissist who sabotaged her lover, stole her dreams, and manipulated everyone. I only found out because a coworker said, "Did you know you're in a Kindle breakup memoir?" I bought the book. She didn't even bother changing our city's name. I wrote an Amazon review under a pseudonym. Reads like revenge fan fiction from someone who peaked during Tumblr poetry season. The comment got more likes than the book ever sold. She removed it from Amazon 2 days later. But screenshots live forever. And now, every time someone brings up trauma writing, I just say, "Let's not care of this situation." It's a verb now. Story 41. After our breakup, my ex Nadia stayed quiet for almost a year. Then I went viral for a blog post about quitting my corporate job to build custom tree houses for schools and nonprofits. Sponsors rolled in. Local TV covered it. One day, I got a handwritten letter in the mail. No return address. Inside was a full-page rant titled, "You built a treehouse but couldn't build a relationship." Attached? A USB stick labeled "Proof of Your Hypocrisy." Curious and stupid, I opened it on a spare laptop. It was a 25-minute video of her walking through a treehouse, one of mine, filming shaky footage and pointing out flaws while monologuing like a nature documentary. Here we see the emotionally unavailable craftsman who abandoned his foundation, much like he did to me. She emailed the video to the local news outlet that had featured me, saying I endangered children. The journalist called me directly, laughing. "We're not airing that," she said. "But we might turn it into a blooper reel." Nadia's video? Still on YouTube with 6 views. 5 are probably hers. Story 42. My ex, Ryan, once told me I was too intense because I worked in crisis PR. After we broke up, I got recruited to manage PR for a high-profile brand. Big deal. Ryan saw the announcement on LinkedIn. His response? He submitted an application to the company as their new PR director. His entire resume was fabricated. He used phrases I'd written in my own cover letter from years ago. And in his portfolio, he included case studies of my projects, even screenshots from slide decks I'd created. The kicker? He listed me as a reference. I got a call from HR. "This guy says you mentored him on these campaigns?" I laughed and explained everything. They blacklisted him. I posted a story that night saying, "If you're going to steal someone's career, maybe don't name drop them." Ryan made a Facebook post whining about gatekeeping exes. "Sorry, babe. That's not gatekeeping. That's gate slamming." Story 43. When I got certified as a personal trainer and launched my wellness channel, my ex, Jenny, mocked me online, said I was just another gym bro with a ring light. Then, I started gaining traction. Brand deals, interviews, collabs. Jenny responded by launching her own Fitness Truth account, where she did reaction videos to my workouts. She'd pause the video, zoom in on my form, and say things like, "This is why you don't take advice from narcissists." She even claimed I photoshopped my muscles in a video where I'm literally lifting a car tire. But the worst part? She started DMing my followers saying I had toxically masculine energy and offered free coaching sessions if they unfollowed me. It backfired. One of my fans posted a compilation of her DMs titled "How to Spiral in 10 Steps." It went viral. She took down her channel. I hit 100,000 followers that week. One comment said it best. She tried to cancel a deadlift. That's a new kind of evil. Story 44. My ex-husband, Owen, refused to believe I could be happy without him. When I moved to a small town after our divorce and opened a handmade pottery shop, I thought I was finally free. Then people started coming in asking about a curse. Confused, I asked what they meant. Turns out, Owen had made fake Yelp and Google reviews calling my shop haunted and saying the mugs whispered at night. One review said, "My coffee tasted like broken dreams and abandonment." Another claimed the bowls cracked during a full moon. At first, it freaked customers out. But then a TikToker made a video visiting my shop to see the haunted pottery. The video blew up. Now I sell cursed collection mugs. Black glaze with weird phrases like, "Don't leave me," and "Whispers not included." They sell out monthly. Owen tried to sue for emotional distress because people joked that he was the ghost. Judge threw it out. I now sell a mug shaped like his face. Bestseller. Story 45. My ex, Taylor, was a wedding photographer. I was a caterer. We broke up because he cheated, ironically, at a wedding. A year later, I was hired to cater a celebrity's elopement. NDAs, private estate, the whole deal. Taylor somehow found out. The morning of the event, he sent a mass email, posing as the bride, to every vendor saying the wedding was canceled. Luckily, the planner called to confirm. Crisis averted. But Taylor didn't stop there. He showed up at the venue pretending to be a guest, wore a fake name tag, even printed a faux invite with the bride's name spelled wrong. Security escorted him out before the vows. I thought it was over. Until a week later, I received a wedding album in the mail, photoshopped. He'd inserted himself into photos of the event, standing in the background, blurry like some horror movie figure. The note inside? "I'll always be a part of your best work." We burned the album and added 2 security guards to every future booking. One for the cake. One for the ghosts of exes past. Story 46. After we broke up, my ex-girlfriend Melissa messaged me once to say, "You'll never find someone who sees you like I did." I ignored it. Fast forward to me getting into a serious relationship and publishing a poetry book. Something I'd dreamed of for years. The book's dedication was to my new girlfriend, just a short for L. 2 weeks after launch, someone left a series of negative reviews on every site. Amazon, Goodreads, even small indie forums. Same complaint over and over. "This work plagiarizes an unpublished manuscript I saw years ago." The accuser's name? Me, Paige Cute. I knew immediately it was Melissa because one of the fake reviews quoted a line she used to say during arguments. "You think words make you wise. They just make you louder. I posted screenshots with the caption, "Turns out, I don't just write poetry. I summon demons too." Sales spiked. My publisher sent me flowers. Melissa's reviews? All taken down. But I kept one framed, just for laughs. Story 47. I was a robotics engineer working on my first big solo prototype, a prosthetic hand for fine motor skills. My ex, Brent, always called it a garage hobby with wires. After our breakup, I finally got accepted to demo at a national tech expo. I posted a photo of the prototype in action. The night before my presentation, someone broke into the conference center and sabotaged my booth. They cut wires, tampered with the power unit, and rearranged my posters to say, "fake tech." Security reviewed footage. It was Brent, wearing a hoodie with my alma mater's logo, thinking it would blend in. He was arrested. I fixed everything with help from other engineers. And during my presentation, I told the full story. The crowd applauded. A week later, Wired featured me. The headline? Engineer rebuilds hand and wrecks ex's reputation. Story 48. When I became a tattoo apprentice, my ex Kayla laughed. She told me it was a phase and that I'd be back at retail by Christmas. Years later, I was booked 6 months out and working in a high-end studio. One day, I got a new client, a woman who asked for a memorial piece, a rose with initials hidden inside the stem. Mid-session, I realized the initials were mine. MKB. I asked her gently who the tattoo was for. She said, "My sister's ex." She said this will make him remember her forever. It was Kayla's sister. The whole thing was a setup. She filmed it and posted a TikTok titled, "He Tattoos Her Forever." Without even knowing, it blew up, for all the wrong reasons. Viewers tore her apart. She deleted the video. I refunded the session and covered it for free with something the client actually wanted. Now, I triple-check initials, and my regulars still joke, "You got exercised by ink." Story 49. After a messy breakup, my ex-husband tried to keep the apartment by claiming I didn't contribute financially. The court ruled in my favor. I had the receipts. I moved out and got a fresh start. New city, new job, new place. Months later, a coworker tagged me in a local Facebook group where someone had posted a blurry photo of me walking my dog with the caption, "Some people run from responsibility, but karma has long legs." The post had no name, but it was public. The language? Classic him. Then more popped up. One said I was seen begging for money in designer boots. Another claimed I was under investigation for workplace theft. None of it was true. All came from new accounts that shared the same birthday. His. I reported the accounts, posted a video exposing everything, and showed the overlaps in wording and metadata. The comments flooded with support. One user said, "He's stalking you like it's a side hustle. My dog now has his own Instagram." His bio reads, "I walk forward, not in bitterness." Story 50. My ex Derek always mocked my love of baking, said it was a hobby for bored housewives. So when I got accepted onto a televised baking competition show, I was ecstatic. I posted a behind-the-scenes photo, NDA friendly, of course. The day before my episode aired, Derek uploaded a YouTube video titled, "The Truth Behind Baking Shows." It was just him ranting for 20 minutes about how I once undercooked banana bread and lied about being self-taught. He even brought props, burnt muffins he claimed I made, and a spatula from our last fight. He tagged the network and me in the video. It backfired massively. The network saw it and added a post-episode teaser where they addressed critics and exes, showing clips of me absolutely crushing the challenges. Derek's video got ratioed into oblivion. I made it to the finals. The producers let me write my own closing line. This one's for every burnt muffin that became fuel. Story 51. When I finally passed the bar exam after failing twice, I posted a simple photo of me holding the certificate. No bragging, just relief. A week later, I got a call from a client I'd just picked up through my firm. He was backing out of the agreement. Said he was worried because someone sent him a link to an article titled, "This Lawyer Almost Didn't Make It. Do You Want Her Representing You?" The author? A concerned legal peer. The site was a Medium blog with one article, and the profile photo was a stock image of a gavel. But one line gave it away. "She's very emotional. She used to cry during debates." Only one person ever saw that. My ex Damien, who dumped me after my second bar fail. I exposed the blog in a tweet thread, included the metadata, he forgot to anonymize the file name, and it went viral in law Twitter. Two publications picked up the story under "Weaponized Failure, When Exes Get Desperate." Story 52. I work in wildlife rescue. After my ex, Laura, broke up with me, she told our mutuals I cared more about squirrels than people. I didn't hear from her for over a year. Then I got a call from Animal Control. Someone had reported me for trafficking exotic animals out of my garage. I was shocked. But when the officer came by, all he saw were a few recovery cages and a possum named Greg. He asked to see my permits. They were all current. But the complaint form had a name listed, Anonymous Concerned Environmentalist. The handwriting matched a note Laura once left me. I still had it. A week later, a fake Instagram account started posting photos of injured animals and tagging my organization, saying we were inhumane and operating illegally. We traced the account's phone number. It was her old burner. She tried to take down a wildlife rescue center. Over a breakup. We now name every raccoon release after bitter exes. The last one? Laura the Trash Queen.